everybody. It's Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend, is having a good Monday so far. Yeah. Pookie's in the background, fucking around.
Yeah, I'm sleepy.
You're asleep. What else fucking is new?
Sleepy. Sleep all night and wake up and still be sleepy.
Yeah, you're just like, you should just sleep all the time.
Hormones fuck it with me.
You should go into like cryogenic sleep like in Alien.
Yeah, cryogenic sleep. Sit around.
I'll eating, wake you up in a few years.
Eating, sleeping, and growing like a lion. Just kind
of, eat, sleep, and grow. Yeah. Yeah, you have to like do your weights and take your fucking hormones and eat your meatloaf.
Yeah.
That's what we have for lunch today. He made the meatloaf.
My brain functions fuck it up.
The meatloaf that he made the other day, it was like... It was like Mount Meatloaf.
Yeah.
It was like this gigantic, like I didn't see it, like he took it out of the oven to like glaze it or something, and I walked in the kitchen and I was like, holy fucking shit.
I froze half of it.
It was like this tall. I was like.
I got a little carried away. You did. I got a little carried away.
It's like 3 pounds of fucking beef or something.
No, it was a whole bunch of pounds.
Oh, it was more than 3 pounds of beef.
It was pretty, oh yeah, a lot more. Like seven. Seven or eight.
It's good though.
Yeah, it's like 7 pounds.
But we had to freeze most of it because, like I said,
it's good though.
It is really good. It's got peppers and onions all in it and everything and stuff like that. We had mashed potatoes with it yesterday, but today we just ate it plain.
Heat it up, put some apricot preserves on the top of it. Yeah, that's my fucking glaze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it with just ketchup on it or just plain.
They're making fun of me because I said tomorrow was. Soph's birthday.
It is your birthday. Birthday with an F.
Yeah. In Mississippi, just a T. Birthday. Birthday.
Birthday. Yeah. Fourth throw down says Close Encounters of the Third Meatloaf.
Yeah.
I wish I'd taken a picture of it, seriously. It was like super, super
pretty.
Funny.
It was big and tall.
It was. It was big and tall.
Big and tall.
It was like Mount Meatloaf.
It was twice the size of a fucking loaf of white Wonder Bread. It was twice that.
More than twice the size.
It was like four loaves of bread, two on the bottom and two on the top. It was like that.
Yeah. It was just like.
I knew what I was doing.
It was like absurd, but like still kind of awesome.
I had a dozen eggs in it.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. Like, when he's going to make something, he's going to make a lot of it. Because then, like, we can eat it on it for a few days, and then we can freeze
some of it. Yeah,
and then, like, in a couple weeks, we're like, hey, let's have the meatloaf again.
So I don't like thawing and refreezing shit too much, so if I thaw out that big old tube of hamburger, I'm going to try to use all of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we can't eat that many hamburgers.
So I cook it and then refreeze some of it. I can do that, too.
Yeah.
So I approach it with from the restaurant style production. Make a bunch of it, divide it up, freeze some of it, eat the rest of it, binge on it.
And honestly, I can eat the same thing like every day for a few days in a row. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days. As long as it's like fucking just really good. You
as long
care.
As it's something good.
I'm trying to go back to it. Kind of like how an animal might go back to a carcass. Go back to it, eat it later.
Well, I mean, especially like when you make Indian food, because that's always like
that's better on
better fourth, like the second, third, fourth day. So it's like I don't even mind going back and eating the same thing every day for lunch or whatever, or dinner. Yeah. All right, so let's do a brief movie review, like we generally do. Like I said, on the matinee thing, because it was getting to be such a pain to like always try to find something that came out this year. I said, okay, well, matinee will just be anything that came out like roughly the past 10 years or whatever.
Did you hear that?
What?
Damn thunder.
Oh, it's thunder. Yeah, it's getting ready to storm again. But like I said, it's Florida, so that's what happens. So we actually, this was a movie that came out in 2017, but Shudder just added it.
Yeah, which it makes a lot more sense now that I know this is 2017. They wouldn't make this today. Go ahead.
This is called Mohawk. Now, this was actually directed by Ted Gagan, I think is how you pronounce his last name, even though there's a lot more letters in there than that.
Yeah.
Now, I have actually seen, this was his second movie, he's made three, and I've actually, strangely, seen all three of them. I'm going to say this is probably my least favorite of all the ones. He also made We Are Still Here, which is the first one. That was pretty decent, kind of like a ghost story, haunted house type of thing. That had Barbara Crampton in it, Larry Fessenden. I liked that one sort of, like, I don't think I liked it as much as some other people did. I think just because the ghosts in it were cool, like they were all burned looking and stuff, but I think he showed them too early and too much. And
I vaguely remember it.
I don't think you saw it. I think I watched it by myself.
I thought I saw it with Crampton in it. I think I saw it. Maybe.
Well, she's been in other ones too. Okay. You might have been thinking of Beyond the Gates or Behind the Gates, because she was in that too.
All right.
So he made that one first, then he made Mohawk, and then in 2019, 2018, he made Satanic Panic, which I actually really liked. It's probably like my favorite of his movies so far, is his newest one. And I think we reviewed it like not too long ago. Now, one thing I didn't know about this movie is that it was also co-written, because he co-wrote it, but it was co-written by with the novelist Grady Hendrix, who I just reviewed one of Grady Hendrix's books on my Tomes of Terror series. I reviewed Horror Store a little while back, which I really, really liked. And I also have another one of his novels, My Best Friend's Exorcism, which I haven't read yet, but I'm going to review that one as well. So apparently how this came about was that Ted Gagan, him and Grady Hendrix were actually going to do Satanic Panic back in 2015, but then it got put on hold, and then, you know, they were like, Grady Hendrix is like, you know, I'm really into like the War of 1812, and you don't really see a lot of movies like set in that time period or set around that war. So it's like, let's do something like that. So that's kind of where the idea for this came from. So basically, this movie is set in 1814, and it deals with a young Mohawk woman named Oak, which is like short for her, I guess her name is like Okwahu or something like Wahoo or something like that. And her lover Calvin, and then she has another guy who's like a British officer. I think his name is Joshua. And what ends up happening is that there's been some conflict like during the war. This is kind of like fairly historically accurate, you know, to the time period. And so basically the Mohawk are trying to stay out of the War of 1812. They're trying to stay neutral on the whole shit. But Calvin, one of the Mohawk, he does not want to stay neutral. He wants to go to war. So he basically goes and raids an American fort and kills a bunch of people while they're soldiers and stuff while they're sleeping, which obviously causes some conflict. So basically it's like, this is kind of like, I don't even know if I'd call it a horror movie, although it goes like, it has some supernatural shit at the end. Like it goes in a supernatural direction, which I guess isn't too like much of a spoiler, but it's mostly like a chase thriller. So it's basically like Oak and her two male companions trying to get away from the dudes that are chasing them. And, you know, violence ensues is essentially like what happens in the movie. So, like I said, this is probably my least favorite of his movies. It's not bad. It's okay. But it was just, it seemed kind of dull, and it was kind of hard for me to, I didn't really get engaged with the characters. I felt, you know what, it's weird. I've seen a lot of these actors, like, in other of his movies and, like, other genre movies, like indie movies, and they were fine. I feel like, because this is set during the War of 1812, I didn't believe that it was set back then.
No.
It seemed a little cheaply made.
Yeah.
Which is weird because his other two were not like that.
Nothing.
It was shot in upstate New York, and it just seemed like it was, I don't know, it just seemed like it wasn't up to the same standard as his other two movies.
No.
Even though it fell in between them. Like, I feel like his first one, like, looked better than this one.
Just the visual tone and just tonally. The movie was a fucking mess. This movie's trash. I mean, it just, you know, if you're living in the field, you're fighting wars, you're fucked up. Everybody's dirty, your shit's all worn. Fucking nothing's white. Everything's fucking filthy, you know what I mean? So nothing, everything has a lived-in, worn, dirty, unwashed look. This, it looked like they were wearing costumes, you know?
Yeah.
You want to learn how to make a good, low-budget, Western-style flick? Study the fucking works of Clint Eastwood, all right? Fucking, you know, High Plains Drifter, you know, Pale Rider, Josie Wales. Those were immersive. They looked like they were really happening back then. Even the fucking score kind of went along with the theme that was going on, either a classical score and, you know, notes of fucking, you know, the 1800s, you know, banjo or something. This kind of had, you know, synthesizer. For dragons.
Yeah, I think it was a Polish composer that did some of his other
brightly
movies.
Brightly lit. It looked like it was shot in HD settings on a fucking, you know, tablet or a phone or something.
So I think maybe what I'm
shot composition.
My complaint
all
is that because I liked his other two movies. Like I said, his first one, We Are Still Here, I didn't love it, but it was like, it was good. It was a decent movie. Satanic Panic, I really liked. So I feel like he does okay if like the setting is like modern.
Yeah.
But the fact that they wanted to do something historical, I don't really think they had the budget to pull it off and make it look realistic. Because, like I said, I didn't really believe that the people were from back then. And they seemed like modern people in costumes.
And there's no way you're going to buy that these people are fucking running around in the wilderness living off the earth and fighting one another. They just look too soft.
I mean,
and
I will.
Too fucking clean. And you know what I mean?
I will give the movie props for having an actual Mohawk woman playing the role of that, so they didn't have like some other ethnicity or whatever.
She
like
blue eyes though.
She is an actual native Mohawk though, so they did actually like, you know, take pains to like get like the real thing. But it did seem like, and I saw another review of it.
Tori's got blue eyes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Doesn't mean anything.
She's an Indian princess. Yeah. Bona fide.
Yeah, we have a friend that's not the same tribe.
And she's a punk rock girl. Yeah. Fucking funny, yeah.
I haven't seen her in a long time. I wonder how she's doing.
Yeah, I was talking to her a couple days ago.
But, oh yeah?
Yeah, she said she's soon to start coming back out.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, this, like I said, it's fine. I wish they had, like, introduced more supernatural shit, like, earlier on, because it seemed like it was a horror thriller, and then I thought it was over, and then it kind of, like, so, like I said, I'm not going to spoil it or anything if you want to watch it, but, I thought it was over, but then, like, it keeps going, and then, like, it goes in, like, a supernatural direction. I wish they had, like, I think there was only one hint that it was going to go into, a line that she said that, you know, implied that maybe some supernatural shit would happen later on. But I kind of wish that they had threaded it into the story more than it was, because, like I said, it seemed like, and the movie's not that long. It's only, like, 91 minutes or something. So it just seemed like it ended, but then, like, it kept going, and then, like, oh, we're doing supernatural
shit.
There's
just still just a lot of problems with the movie. I mean, it's got a very uneven tone. The pacing to the edit is very uneven. Script just fucking sucks, man. I mean, there's just too many fucking characters. There's too much dialogue. There isn't any kind of central character or theme. Is this third person? Is it first person story?
Yeah, it goes back and forth between the Americans, just, the British guy and her and the her.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm just, you know, we're reviewing the movie. I just don't recommend watching it. It's a waste of time. It's just trash.
I mean, like I said, I don't really like just saying that outright because some people, because I've seen some reviews of like some people that really seem to like it. You know, just like some people, I saw some reviews of people that seemed to like his first movie a lot, We Are Still Here, which I liked, but I didn't love it as much as some people did.
He needs to stay in modern times. To do a Western or a period flick, it's expensive.
Yeah, you really need to
write it, and you got to have the right fucking soundtrack. You cannot break that illusion, you know what I mean? It has to be immersive. And anything's wrong with it, it's easy to take you out of it. And it takes the audience out of it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said.
If you like this movie, it's because you don't have any experience with Westerns and period.
Well, period pieces, just, it's hard to do.
That's a certain genre, and there are certain great ones and a lot of shitty ones, all right? And then,
I was kind of hoping this would go more in a Bone Tomahawk kind of direction.
Yeah, which that was a great period flick.
Right.
Because it was done right.
It was immersive. You believed.
You bought that it was happening back
even
then.
Though it was Kurt Russell and right. It's Kurt Russell. I mean, you know, but yeah. You did like believe that it was set in that time period.
Yeah.
This one I just couldn't break that illusion. I think it was just the way it was shot. Like you said, the costumes were kind of too clean.
Yeah.
It struck me more as like people cosplaying War of 1812,
yep.
which I can see, because like I said, Grady Hendrix is like a really is a history buff, and he's really interested in the War of 1812, so yep. So that's cool that like he wanted to make a movie that was like set in that time period, because that's, you know, a time period that doesn't get a lot of play in movies. So I feel like, well, wait a minute, wasn't Ravenous set during the War of 1812? Somebody remind me. I haven't seen that in such a long time. That was a great movie, by the way, if you haven't seen that one. That came out back in the 90s. But it's just, I feel like to do it right, you really, really, really have to
invest a lot of time.
Have to have the budget, because if you don't, it's just, you're not going to buy it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't mind. Like the acting was fine. I really liked for anybody that's into WWE wrestling, the guy playing the American Soldier, the real big guy that they keep calling the Giant, that is Brody Lee. Jonathan Huber is, I guess, his real name, but he's known as Brody Lee, like in WWE. So this is his film debut, if you like, want to see that. I actually liked him in the movie. He was, like, not comic relief, but he was, like, kind of a funny guy. So this had, like, some cool shit about it. Like, I liked...
Yeah, that's the problem with it, is that every now and then something cool would come through it.
Yeah.
The final act of it with the supernatural stuff, it wasn't bad. That
Well, see, that's what I like that. I wish better. They had done more with that.
But it kind of fucked with you in the fucking first 15, 20 minutes. Tonally, it was just all wrong. So
well, a lot of it was just kind of like running around in the woods.
Around,
like we're running over here and then we're hiding from them and then they're running over there. Yeah, the practical effects were good. The arrow shots in the throat and shit like that. It was good. It looked real. Like one guy got his finger shot off. That looked real. It was like, you know, so the special effects were good. I just like you said, I kind of wish they had gone more in like a whole supernatural direction with it instead of just doing like a chase thriller, like for the first two thirds. And then by the way, there's supernatural shit happening. It's just, it didn't, that can be pulled off, but it just, I don't think they pulled it off successfully.
I detected he was trying to do kind of what was done in that movie that had, oh shit, what's his name? Dude that plays fucking the pirate, from Pirates of the Caribbean.
What's Johnny Depp
did a Western movie where he was hanging out with the Indians out there. Remember that one?
Yeah.
It was kind of like a supernatural thriller. I think it might have had some horror in it, too. It's been a long time I've seen it. That was a very low-budget Western, but it was really well done.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it. I know what you're talking
and
about.
And it's kind of like a, it's kind of like an underground cult classic. I think he was trying to go that way with it, but it didn't work. You have to get the costumes and the tone right. Got to use the right filters on the camera. It's got to look like it was. It's got to look old. Yeah. Everything in it has to look old. It has to feel like it's transporting you to another time. And really, man, it's hard to do that with HD, I think.
Yeah.
It would probably, because you know what I mean? Look at what Josie Wales looked like. You could buy everything what's happening in Josie Wales.
Yeah.
Same with High Plains Drifter. You look at it, just everything looks like it's really there. Looks like it's actually old. It looks like it's from that period. The people are kind of, it's kind of convinced you that the people are from that period. It's just difficult to do a period piece.
Well, I mean, everything, period piece is always hard to do all the way around. And I will say too, and this is nothing like no dings on particular actors or anything. Some actors can play characters from a long time ago,
some can't.
Like I said, it's just, it has to do with their look. It has to do with how they carry themselves. I think one of the things, I know this is going to sound kind of like out of left field, but I think this is one of the things that took me out of, as much as I love Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, I think that was one of the things that made Keanu Reeves stick out so much in that. And also in Dangerous Liaisons, because he was in that as well. Keanu Reeves is a wonderful person and he's a really good actor, but he's a modern person. I don't buy him as a person from the 17th century or as a person from, you know, the time period of Dracula, like the 19th century. I just don't buy it. And it's nothing to do with his acting. It's nothing to do with that. I don't know what it is. It's like some weird, like, it factor that some people can play, like, hey, I'm from the Old West, or hey, I'm from, like, you know, Victorian England or something, and some people can't. So it's just, I don't know what it is. I don't know. But that's just an example. So I think that's kind of what, like, some of the people in this were fine. Like, I bought it from back then, but some of the other actors, like, I didn't really believe that they were from that time period. You know what I'm saying?
Fort Drawer Down says, I wonder if filmmakers have forgotten how to make movies like Josie Wales. Josie Wales and Eastwood's movies, you know, they were independent films. You know, he produced that himself or with his friends' monies. So they weren't really Hollywood films. They were indie films. And that's one of the reasons why they were good. If they were Hollywood films, it would have to be made by a committee. They'd have to jam a bunch of product placement in there. They'd have to jam a fucking political advertising for people that gave money to the movie. So, no, Hollywood can never make a good Western, not anymore. Why? Too many white men. Just too much racism, too much misogyny, too much cruelty to the animals. Just anything. You know, they're going to fuck that up. You're not going to have a Western movie anymore. Too toxic. Toxic masculinity. So, no, you won't have that. You know, they didn't like Clint Eastwood. They didn't like Clint Eastwood going back to them Dirty Harry or anything, because that was like, they thought they saw that as NRA propaganda. So, no, Hollywood won't make that shit. Only indie. You're only going to get that shit in indie films.
Remember we saw Clint Eastwood in that movie, The Mule?
Yeah, that was a good movie.
That was a pretty good
movie.
He looks like the fucking Crypt Keeper.
And I think that was an indie film too. I think he was involved in making
that. Well, he has his own production
company. He's got his own company, yeah.
So. I mean, he's had his own production company for ages. But I will say, I mean, he made like some decent westerns, like even fairly recently. I mean, like Unforgiven and stuff, like won a fucking Oscar and shit like that.
Kind of fairly recent.
Well, yeah, it was a while back, but you know what I mean. The thing about westerns is that they come and go. Like, I do feel like...
Yeah, limited audience. You're not going to make a $1 billion blockbuster. So, no, they don't want to put a bunch of money into that.
I've seen some decent westerns, like, in the past couple. But, like, I think they were mostly, like, independent. Or they weren't American. You know what I mean?
The best new western... I don't know. I showed Sophie some westerns while she was here. She had never seen them. She's seen Josie Wales. Then I showed her High Plains Drifter, which was, like, that was the Crow Wild West style. I fucking love High Plains Drifter.
That's probably my favorite Western.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that that motherfucker's a demonic revenant.
Because it's a ghost story,
back from the dead to fucking wreak vengeance on his town. And then there's like the sequel to it in a way what the fuck am I saying? Pale Rider. Pale Rider was kind of like an angelic savior to come save a town, so... People wanted High Plains, like a sequel to High Plains Drifter. You really can't do that. So he had kind of flipped it and inverted it. So he was kind of like an angelic savior of the town. But recently, the best Western that I've seen recently would have been Kressel's movie.
Yeah, which is kind of like a Western. Now, Louis said Django Unchained was good too.
I heard that. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet. That's Tarantino, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that was good. A lot of people seem to like that one, but I haven't seen it yet either.
Yeah.
But,
if you guys haven't seen, you know, the fucking Man with No Name trilogy with Clint Eastwood, you know, what is it? Fucking, you know what I'm talking about. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Well, they're classics.
The good, the bad, the ugly. Yeah. What was the other ones? There's two other ones. I'm forgetting what they were called now.
But everybody knows what he needs. Oh, poor Tom.
But yeah, you need to see those too. You know,
Fistful of Dollars, Louis says.
Fistful of Dollars. Yeah.
For
a few dollars more, and fucking The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That's right.
Sophie said she loved the 3:10 to Yuma remake. That was actually really good. I liked that. Yeah, and they remade True Grit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3:10 to Yuma had fucking what's his ass from Tommy Lee Jones. He was in that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In general, Westerns were not big earners at the fucking box office in recent times.
I mean, not since the 60s, really.
The main audience has grown old and died, and they're gone now. You know, fucking... My dad and granddad's generation, they fucking loved
Westerns.
They
loved those,
They're gone, though.
I mean, like I said, you get one that pops up every now and then. It gets, like, a lot of buzz about it that a lot of people are really into. But I feel like that's a genre. It's kind of like musicals, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like every now and then a musical comes out and everybody flips out about it. But normally, it's not like back in the old days when, like, musicals would be coming out all the time and everybody's like, woo, new musical, you know what I mean? It's kind of like just one of those things. And like I said, shit just goes in cycles, I suppose. But, so you need to take a nap?
I need to take a nap, but I was just thinking about Sergio Leone's. Thinking about Sergio Leone's movie. The best thing about that trilogy that he did was the fucking music, man.
Yeah.
The music from Good, Bad, and the Ugly and everything.
Well, people still remember that shit nowadays.
It was like operatic fucking post-apocalyptic Western music. It made the film seem so much more important, you know, when you had that type of a fucking score behind it.
It's hilarious how sometimes... it takes someone from another culture, i.e. the Italians, to make like a movie that's like American as fuck, iconically American, though it was made by Italians.
What was great about them though is that it was all Southwest, so it was merging Mexican and American culture.
Yeah.
So it kind of would work play in every market. It was great, you know, and it had that fucking, like, a post-apocalyptic tone to it. They kept showing shots of broken crosses and crooked fucking heads, you know, cemeteries with the fucking headstones all crooked. And they were kind of spooky. It was about death, you know. Death and destruction and the end of civilization. And dudes out in the desert, you know. It looks like they haven't fucking bathed in fucking months. And that's why you bought into that shit.
Well, yeah, because everybody looked scuzzy.
Yeah, and you didn't really buy into it with Mohawk. They looked all freshly fucking washed and, you know, the machine washed fucking clothing and stuff. Now, you know, it doesn't work that way.
Like I said, that might have been an issue of, like, you know, budgetary kind of shit, and then just kind of like, I don't know. It's like I said, it doesn't take much budget to dirty up the costumes. But like you said, they for real look like costumes. They didn't really look like people's clothes.
Yeah, they weren't worn out. You know, they weren't threadbare, you know, fucking. In a Leone movie, people had clothes that were ripped and then sewn back together.
Yeah.
Repaired clothes.
Louis asked
And all the fucking leather looked real worn, you know. Everything looked old.
Yeah.
Like you were using it. Even the guns.
Yeah.
The guns were, you know, I mean, the varnish gone on parts of the wood and scratches. And you could tell that, you know, like the carbines had been kicked around and, you know, dropped on rocks over the years. You know, it looked like something that somebody was really carrying.
Yeah.
You know?
Louis asked if we'd seen The Searchers. Mm-mm. Is that the John Wayne movie?
No, I haven't seen that one.
I don't think I've seen that either. I mean, I might have seen it because, like I said, my grandpa was really, really into Westerns. And so I probably saw a lot of them just like peripherally because he had them on the TV all the time. Because I remember seeing like a lot of John Wayne movies and all that kind of. And I'd seen like some of the Sergio Leone movies in pieces like when I was younger. But just because they were always on because they were into that. He loved war movies and Western movies just like all grandpas everywhere. But yeah, all right. So we're going to take off for the day because you need to go take a nap.
I got to take an old man.
I just noticed, and somebody like informed me earlier on YouTube, and I had just noticed it as well, that Netflix has just put up the second season of the new Unsolved Mysteries. I know what I'm going to be watching tonight. And if however many of them we watch, we'll review them tomorrow probably on the matinee. I don't know if we're going to be able to like get through the whole season. I don't remember how many.
I need to get at least an hour of sleep to get my brain recharged.
Well, it's only 3:30 in the afternoon here, so you can go and take a nap, and I will get back to doing what I was doing, and then we'll watch some Unsolved Mysteries tonight, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow, so that'd be kind of cool, huh? All right, so as always, thank everybody for stopping by. Have a good rest of your day, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow.